What's your favorite memory? Could it be the birth of a child? Could it be your first love? Could it be an award or something that you received? Or maybe it was the first time you got a puppy or a kitten in your life. What was your worst memory? Maybe losing a job or worse. Today we're finishing up our sermon series on special things, and I wanted to end on this idea of memory. Because so much of who we are as people are based upon the memories that we have in the past. And those memories keep coming back over and over again. And sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're bad. And today is Memorial Day. And Memorial Day weekend, tomorrow is actually Memorial Day, the weekend, the day of Memorial Day is there to remember all of those people who gave their life in the armed forces. So it seemed like it was a good idea to talk about memories. So we're going to talk about memories this morning. And I want to tell you about one of my most powerful memories in my life. It happened when I was in high school. I was a junior, and I had invited this young girl to my junior prom. And she said yes. But she had to get special dispensation from her parents because she was only 15 at the time, and her parents said she could only date when she was 16. So we worked all those details out, and I got my tuxedo. She got her beautiful dress. My mom had a beautiful blue Buick and got the keys to that. She's going to let me drive it. Praise God. Hallelujah. We go to this restaurant before prom to have dinner and had a wonderful dinner. I was so excited to get back to where the prom was going to be. This was my very, very first prom, so I was really excited about it. Went outside to go into the car and had realized that I had locked the keys in the car, along with the tickets to the prom, along with my pride. Couldn't get the car opened. And here it is on a Friday night about 9 o'clock or 7 o'clock, I don't know what time it was, and through a very, very large series of events, it took a long time to finally get to the prom, which I did, which we both did. But I still remember, it's a vivid, vivid memory because it was a fun, enjoyable evening, one that I cherish forever, and it's also one that was deeply humiliating in my life, which is actually the story of my life. What is your deepest memory? Do you have memories that just will never leave you, that they're seared into your head? Well, we're going to talk about that today, because memories can be good, memories can be bad, memories can be ugly. They can bring us joy, or they can haunt us. In order to look at this morning, I want to just take a look at this account from the road to Emmaus. Now, just to refresh your memory, after the resurrection, there were these two disciples going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they're walking along the road, this other person comes and joins them. And he says to them, "Why are you so sad?" And the two look at him like he's crazy. And he says, "Don't you realize what has happened in Jerusalem? There was this guy named Jesus. He was a wonderful guy. But he was found guilty, and he was hung, and he died, and he's dead, and that's it. And we're kind of shocked by all this, and now we're going to Emmaus." Now, it was Jesus that was walking along with them along the road to Emmaus, but for some reason, they didn't recognize him. Their memory didn't work. Now, you say, how is this even possible? Because if you read in the text, they probably were people that knew Jesus. And probably knew him rather intimately, like the disciples knew him, and yet they did not recognize him. Now, why is that? Well, I just want to talk about a couple reasons why that might be. First of all, is it could have been out of context. You know what that's like, right? You are, let's say you go to school and you see somebody all the time, and you see him at school, and then all of a sudden you're not in school, and you see the person, it's like, where do I know that person? And you say, oh, that's right. It's from school. Now, this happens to pastors all the time because there are a whole lot more of you than there are for me. And Whenever I'm in a location that's not here in church and somebody comes up to me, my first thing is they must obviously be somebody I know from church. But oftentimes they're not people I know from church because there's other people that I know. And it gets so frustrating for me because it's out of context. There was this service that they had for the Vail community a couple weeks ago because of all the horrible things that are happening in the Vail community, and I'm sitting here. Part of my job at the service was to light the candles with this clicker. It was windy, so I kept lighting people, and a person stuck out a candle, and it was somebody I know, and the person said, "Gosh, you don't even recognize me," and I look up, and I said, "Oh, who are you again?" No, I knew who it was. I gave this person a great big hug and said, "Hi, how are you doing?" and all that sort of thing, but it's out of context, but I don't think that's the reason. Maybe they were just too distraught. Has this ever happened to you where things are going so bad in your life that you're not thinking clearly? Your brain's not functioning properly. This definitely happens. This is why I think when people are going through difficult things in their life, it is so good sometimes to have another person help walk with them through their life and through their difficulty. Because sometimes we're not thinking clearly, but another person could kind of help us think clearly. And so these two people, these two disciples, what's interesting is one of them is named Clopas. And you may have heard that name Clopas before in Scripture. And that is at the death of Jesus, at the crucifixion, there was Mary, right? And another Mary, the wife of Clopas. So it could be that these two guys, more than likely than not, were actually very, very strong disciples of Jesus. They weren't the 12 disciples, but there were people that knew Jesus very, very well. And then when Jesus dies and is placed in the grave, they're so distraught, they decide to go to Emmaus for whatever reason, and they're so distraught that they can't see Jesus. Because there are times in our life where we're so distraught we can't think clearly. I don't know if you know this, but when people are planning funerals, that is a huge opportunity for funeral directors and funeral homes to take advantage of people because they're not feeling, they're not seeing correctly. And so, gosh, 20 or 30 years ago, the Federal Trade Commission passed this law that says funeral places have to publish all their rates and show you exactly what it is that they're doing so that you can't be taken advantage of because it's such a huge opportunity time. But I don't think that's either. I don't think it's that they were distraught. I don't think it's necessary that it was out of context. The answer is actually in Luke 25:6, where Luke writes, "But their eyes were kept from recognizing him." Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. For whatever reason, God hid Jesus from their eyes. Now, some people who have looked at this text say, the whole reason why they did that is so that they wouldn't be so excited about Jesus that actually listen to what he said. Because during that conversation, the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, Jesus just talked about the Old Testament and he talked about the prophecies and the scriptures and how everything was fulfilled in Jesus. It was a great, great message. Probably the best sermon ever. And then they get to Emmaus. And Jesus breaks the bread and immediately their eyes are opened. And I think we have a message there. I think there's a message there. You see, memories can be great, but they can also be very difficult. Our memories are what make us who we are. If you think about it, you know, we're brains and we're arms and legs and flesh and all that sort of thing, but what really separates us from every other creature is that we have this incredible memory and we can remember things. And that is an awesome gift. Or it can be an awesome curse. Because sometimes the memories we have are so wonderful, we just want to dwell on them and say that was a great thing. But sometimes some of the memories in our life are so painful and so difficult in our lives that we have to go through a long process to try to reconcile those memories with our lives. A lot of people go through counseling. You see, Satan wants to use our memories against us. He's happy when we take the bad memories in our life, and he uses them against us to try to make us miserable. I was reading recently about a couple years ago, I guess they came up with this technique where they could actually go in and selectively remove people's memories. Would you like to do that? Would you like it if there was something in your life that they could go in and they could pick that out and they could selectively remove it? And you think on the surface, man, that sounds like a great idea. Maybe in some instances that's a great idea. But my most painful memories actually deal with people who died that I loved deeply. And I think to myself, would I want to actually have that memory of their death removed? Or would they have to remove the whole entire memory of that person from my life? And I don't think I'd want to go there. I think I don't want the pain from the memory, but I want the good stuff from the memory. Back 20 or 30 years ago, John Irving wrote a novel called A Prayer for Owen Meany. I don't know if you remember this novel. I read it. It came out, I think, in like 1997, 1994, something like that. And it's John Irving's depiction of what he thinks a perfect Christian would look like. And this is what Owen Meany said. He said, memory is a monster. It files things away. It keeps things for you, or it hides things from you, and summons them to your recall with a will of its own. You think you have a memory, but in truth, the memory has you. What do you do with memories? What do you do with them? The painful ones. The ones that you don't want around. The ones you want to excise from your memory, but you can't because they're a part of who you are. Of course, the answer is from our scripture this morning, because these two gentlemen, they go in to this house. Jesus makes to leave, and they say, no, Jesus, stay with us. And so Jesus stays with them, and they come down, and they break bread together. And it was that breaking bread where their eyes were open and they saw that it was Jesus. Their memory was cleared and they saw, this is the living Christ, the one we've been hanging out with. This is Him. Isn't it amazing how just that simple act brought back a flood of memories in their life? You know, it's interesting. I guess it was about 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, there was a member of our congregation, their father was dying. He's a pastor, retired pastor, and I went quite a few times to minister to him, and most of the times I went, he just was really kind of out of it and didn't really kind of communicate, but when I would start praying the Lord's Prayer with him, you could see him start to move and pray the Lord's Prayer with me. And that was actually the very first time where I'd kind of had that happen. It was, I mean, I've heard stories about that happening, but this is the first time it happened. It was one of the coolest, most blessed moments I've ever seen, because if you ingrain things in your life from worship, from being a child of God, those things will sustain you at the end of life. And I think that's kind of a cool thing. So it's good that we come together and worship and say the same words over and over again, because that becomes a part of who we are. But more important than that is this. This whole road, Jesus was with them. This whole road, even though they didn't recognize Jesus, Jesus was still there. And in our road, Jesus is still there with us. Even though we don't necessarily recognize that He's with us, He is with us. The memories, good or bad, He's there with us in all of it. And here's probably the most fundamental thing I want to leave with you this morning, and that's this. The good memories, the bad memories, the memories that haunt us, the memories that bring us joy, Jesus is a part of those memories. We don't have to necessarily excise them from our life. Because in the good or the bad or the ugly, He is there, and He's redeemed it. And we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that all those memories, all the questions, all the pain and all that will be fulfilled in Jesus on the last day, so that when we are with Him in heaven, all things will be revealed. We'll understand why those things happened. We'll understand what the purpose was for those things, and we will live with Him eternally forever. And to me, that is the greatest comfort, because there's so many times when I look at the memories of my life and I say, God, I don't understand why that happened. But I can live as a Christian in His comfort, in His love, in His presence, knowing that someday He'll explain it to me, And I don't have to worry about it. It's on him to explain it to me. All I get to do is let him redeem all the bad stuff and the ugly stuff and rejoice in the great stuff. Praise God for that. I probably should share with you that this story that I opened with, this girl I took to prom, she actually did go out with me again and again, and she didn't hold that against me. She didn't hold that memory against me. As a matter of fact, now we look back at it and laugh because we ended up getting married, having four kids, telling the story to our kids. When you go to prom, do not lock the keys in the car. And they're like, but Dad, didn't work out bad for you. That's true, because she loves me, and I love her. But I do remember it, and she never lets me forget it. Of course. But we're both redeemed children of God, and we can use any memory in glory and praise to him. In his name, amen.